Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantanalayam, the most happening place on the planet, and today we continue and conclude a series which we started 2 weeks ago. The recounting of awesome and elevating moments with Swami in Kodaikanal, 1998. Three former students of Bhagwan's University, Brother Nitin Acharya, Brother Niranjan and Brother N. Karthik, sit together and go down the memory lane and pick those pearls of wisdom and priceless experiences for us. Brother Nitin Acharya, after completing his engineering, joined Bhagwan's University for his Master's in Business Administration, works in the publication division of Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust. Brother Niranjan also did his Master's in Business Administration and is currently the warden at the Sri Satya Sai Senior Boys Hostel. And the third member in this team is Brother N. Karthik, who too did his MBA in Bhagwan's University and since 2000 has been serving in Swami's Super Speciality Hospital in Whitefield, Bengaluru. In the first episode, all three of them talked about how they found themselves to be part of this team and how it felt when they knew that they are actually part of this privileged group. In the second part of this discussion, the story moved on to the beautiful sessions they had with Swami inside Sai Shruti as well as outside Sai Shruti. Sai Shruti is Bhagwan's abode in Kodaikanal. And in the final part of this discussion, today you will listen to some more of those moments with Swami, living, dining and interacting with Him in the same house for 27 days. And then the final moments, those moments of sadness and joy, moments of deep reflection and introspection. So that is what we will listen to in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So that is what we will listen to in this last leg of Thursday Live, coming to you from the studios of Radio Sai. So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and to this final part of the discussion on the deep bliss of being with Sai in Kodai. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and over now to the discussion with Brother Nitin Acharya, Niranjan and N. Karthik.
Wow, amazing. And were there any other interesting sessions, Karthik? Because sometimes I remember certain groups, they try to organize a few events there. In certain years, students try to organize a picnic. I think it happened in the very early years. Sometimes you try to organize any other singing session, music session, or a poetry session, anything like that happened.
We had a Kavi Samelan. Some evenings we have had debates. And one particular session I remember was a Kavi Samelan session. So each of us, because there were boys from different backgrounds, cultural backgrounds, different languages they used to speak. So we took turns in presenting poems that we had composed or we knew in our own language. So I remember a singing a poem. It used to go like, Inda bhoomi yamadu, inda kaatrum yamadu, sala sala vendru odum inda neerum yamadu, kana kana vendru kodikum inda indiya rattam yamadu yamadu. So this was a poem in Tamil, and it talks about it's about patriotism and about this land being ours and this the silvery waters of India being ours and the blood that, you know, gushes forth in our veins. Is there's something Indian about it. I think when I was explaining it, I probably overdid it a little bit, I guess. So after I had done, I thought I had done a pretty good job about presenting the poem and having explained it. But for some reason, Swami didn't seem very happy about what I had said after the poem. He said, I think it is not, what you said was not appropriate. Then when I reflected, I saw that among the audience, I mean, there were some guests who were of different nationalities. So it may not have been appropriate to go overboard on this patriotism thing. It's okay to, you know, so to have sort of kept it to an acceptable level.
Neutral way.
We need to be sensitive to who the audience is, even when we are presenting. And yes, the intention is to please Swami. But there is always a lesson to learn in these small, small things, how sensitive he is. It was not as if, you know, any of them complained or... But I'm sure he must be so sensitive to what's happening around him all the time. And that is something we have the opportunity to learn and imbibe. And
instead
practice.
Of trying to do what you think is comfortable for you, you have to all the time keep thinking what is suitable to the context.
I think it also depends on the person. It also depends on the place.
Yes.
Just now, as you were saying, I was just thinking about... was it this trip where Mr. Ashok Singhal had come? Ashok Singhal, I think probably...
Correct.
I remember it was in this trip.
Yes.
And just now I remembered that, you know.
Yeah.
On another day, Swami, you know, when he came, he wanted to sing in front of Swami because he had composed two songs. And in fact, Swami was so happy with those songs. Swami had actually asked him to practice here in auditorium.
All boys sang here.
All boys sang during Guru Purnima of 98.
Oh,
yeah. All boys sang in the Mandir in Gurupo 98. This was like, you know, I don't know, maybe Karthik can sing it, but...
Yah Matra Bhoomi Meri, Yah Pitra Bhoomi Meri, Pavan Param Jahan Ki, Manjula Mahatmya Dhara. It goes like this.
Wow.
This song, Swami, was particular that you know, all of us learned.
Yeah, in fact, I think Ashok Singhal probably would have been at least 65 that time. It's about almost 18 years back, right? Beautiful. The way he sang, we could make out that fervor, that kind of patriotism in him. You know, so much you could get that feeling. And Swami,
so Swami liked it very much.
Mm.
Like patriotism, he's always, you know, he's more
and he's someone who's really given himself in the service of the
nation. Exactly. Yeah. So I think it depends also, and also the person. And also the place. Because I remember Swami personally told me this, because I had a habit of, you know, so enthusiastic and we wanted to tell something and respond to Swami so that Swami, we feel, will be happy with our response. I learned actually that in front of Swami, you should keep our mouth shut as much as possible. Then you learn more, actually.
Yes. Yeah.
So once or twice I blurted out something, Swami said, buddhi ledu. You should, then Swami actually in the interview room once told me, you should see to whom you are talking to me, but who is there around.
Oh, okay.
So you have to be careful about that. Swami told me personally this. So you have to be careful about who are the people around me when you talk to me. So you should be, in the sense, that is, I think, in leadership, you know, we talk about contextual intelligence now. People are talking about last 4-5 years, people are writing about contextual intelligence. As a leader has supposed to have this, the what is happening in the context, inside and outside the organization, you know. So that, actually, Swami had it all the time. This is nothing but contextual intelligence.
Yes, fantastic. In fact, when you mentioned about outside, inside, I just the thought occurred that, you know, the whole of Kodai trip is like that. It's something happens outside and there is some reflection inside. And later, when you now think about it, more insights come deep inside. And the most beautiful thing of Kodai Canal, as we were discussing for more than 90 minutes now, is this unique chance where you get to see Swami closely, you get to observe Swami closely, and Swami gets to observe you closely. And I think that is where a lot of learning happens. You physically get corrected by Bhagwan. Nitin sir, what reflections come to you, because you have seen Bhagwan at close quarters for so many years. What are those aspects of Bhagwan's life which always has fascinated you as a person, as a human being, you know, certain traits that you feel something that all of us just need to emulate, because this is what Swami lived his life?
Yeah, very pertinent question. Now, when I, having observed Swami from close quarters, not just Swami, but his interaction with the masses.
Yes.
Let us just recall of all the events, means general events which take place, that his conversation with an individual and his darshan, his interaction, whether it is a discourse or whether it is one-to-one, you know, interaction in an interview room. Why Swami, he strikes the chord, our inner chord, why he touches our lives. It is not just for student or for an individual who has got several chances from Swami. Even a person who is there sitting way back in the devotees, he is also touched. He has also got his own story. Like just 2 days ago, when one of our staff member, he told that when he came to know that this Kodai conversations are going on in the studio, he told his experience that his first darshan was nowhere else but in Kodai Canal in 92 or something.
Okay.
And then Swami looked at him eye to eye, and then he held his hands, both hands with his hand. And then in another darshan, those days he used to throw chocolates, and that chocolate he has preserved. So everyone has his own story. And now in this discussion you have seen how minutest details Swami will, you know, bring to the notice of every student. And why that Swami touches our lives of every individual. I just introspected, and then I came to the conclusion that that is the strength of Swami, that is the power of love of Swami, is one-pointed attention. One-pointed attention, and every person with whom he interacts, he gives value. Because he sees his own reflection. Swami says embodiment of love, isn't it? And then, when he speaks to him, he listens to him. Whereas we, what we do is, when we speak, nowadays you find people, you know, they either are busy on their computer and then they listen to us. We are proud of multitasking. But the person, yeah, and we see our WhatsApp or what message, email has come, and the person feels that, see, I'm putting forward my problem and this fellow is not listening.
Mm.
This doesn't happen. You take any your Radio Sai video and any conversation, you will see that he maintains that eye contact with an individual when he speaks one to one, and he genuinely listens to him.
Mm.
And this is what the Kodai Canal is, a more fertile ground for us to grasp all these things. It is not a picnic. It is necessary for us to watch these minutest details of Swami, how his life is, how he interacts with people. As I said, the leadership skills. And none other than Swami has all these personality traits. I just read, couple of years ago, Jesus the CEO. There is a wonderful book, and that book mentions about the personality traits of, and you can draw a lot of parallels between the life of Jesus and life of Swami. Like how Jesus used to, you know, treat his subordinates. Even his, these goats and other animals, he will be loving and caring. At the same time, he will be stern, like an enforcement of he will voice out his opinion against injustice. He used to serve his best wine to the people around. That hospitality, wonderful example. Kodai is best example. So I and my father is one. This is the best place to see that same thing what Swami has told in the discourse. Swami is living, setting an example in front of us. So coming back to this interaction, the one-to-one individual, he pays attention. Then you come to know that yes, Swami is, he is genuinely concerned about my problem. And then that strikes the chord. That goes in our heart and it becomes our lifetime moment to cherish. So that is the biggest, and even take this Kodai Canal trip, for example, when he goes outside, as you said, that he is not only concerned about people, he is a perfect host in Sai Shruti. When he goes out, he has a concern for each and every individual, those Tibetans, that straw hat seller. And in a way, this is not just a spiritual retreat, but it spurs the economy, isn't it? It turns the economy. He creates the livelihood for people around. While going, he gives so many chances to devotees. He promotes the tourism there in Kodai Canal. I have spoken to one of the shopkeeper. He says when Swami comes, his revenues double virtually during that 1 month. And that is sufficient for them for their whole entire year. Then once, you know, after long gaps, we went. In 2005, when we asked, see, so many years Swami didn't come. Why? Apna dhanda kam ho gaya. like that he feels.
Mm. They were sad. Mm.
And now virtually we are seeing, we are feeling that vacuum now, if you see even in Parthi, outside, that it is not able to attract, that Swami was a magnet.
Mm.
So wherever that magnet goes, everyone follows. As you said, a convoy of 100 odd cars there behind. Mm. That is not happening. That is the power of attraction. The Karshati iti Krishna. The Krishna is the one who attracts. So Swami
the
is to attract.
Of the physical
form. That is the magic. Not just in a spiritual way, but even in a worldly way, it promotes tourism. It creates a livelihood for people, for poor people.
Mm.
So that's the greatest distinction, greatest learning, which and that single-pointed attention.
Yes.
There's
actually,
a lot of
in management, we talk about cybernetics.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what I always feel. No, if Swami's one action.
Mm.
So many places and so many stakeholders, everybody gets affected positively.
Positively.
The economy, the tourism, the livelihood of people, generally, you know, everything becomes vibrant. That's the beauty of Swami.
The organization, it is the leader which matters. The performance of leader, it percolates down to the masses, to the subordinates, everyone, to the, all the stakeholders of an organization. That's what I felt from Swami's life.
Wow. And I think the point that you made about this Swami's sort of one-pointedness, I mean, I would like to say it was that heart-to-heart connection that every person felt with Swami.
Yeah.
And I think that happens only with Swami. There could be a celebrity whom a lot of people follow, but okay, you praise him, you admire for a particular talent of a particular sports person or a musician, but you know, you don't develop a heart-to-heart connect. But with Swami, you develop a heart-to-heart connect. I think that happens because he makes you feel like the world, you know, for you, you feel that he's the world for me. And when he's talking to you, you feel that he's come down to the world only for you. I think that is something which is a very, very unique thing, and I feel it can happen only with God, because you know, especially when you're with Bhagwan inside the interview room, this has been my experience, and at that point in time, you feel that he really has taken the human form only for you. He gives you that feeling.
Yeah, 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 that's right.
He gives you that
feeling. I mean, for him, like at that moment, I have seen in Darshan, right, that moment... For him, probably nobody exists other than you.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Many devotees have told
this. Yes.
Not just dozens of devotees that Swami, had he not come in my life, my life would have been miserable.
According to my little understanding, I think the root cause for that, if you really see the source, is unconditional love.
Absolutely.
Love which is unconditional. Absolutely unconditional.
Yes.
There is no condition.
Absolutely.
You know, so you don't have anybody. Even your parents are not like that.
Yeah.
Even they have probably some conditions here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's absolutely unconditional. He doesn't want anything back from you.
Yes.
Pure love. So, because of that, you get the connect.
The power of pure love in action.
Yeah.
So, whatever his interaction with people, whether students or outside world, there is no iota of selfishness. Again, there are some other elements who speak about Swami in a derogatory way. So, there is a caution for them that whatever he has done, it is just for the benefit of the person to whom he is interacting. So you don't have any doubt.
Yes.
And even if, suppose if you have a doubt, then give a benefit of doubt to Swami and not in your favor. It is good for you only.
Yes.
Otherwise you are missing a wonderful chance which you have got it to be in this Sai era.
Wow. So I don't want this discussion to end, but the Kodai journey ended, and at some point in time we also have to wind up. So how was those final few moments, Karthik, in Kodaikanal? I know it'll be a very, very difficult time if you saw me started drawing up plans to wind up the trip.
One thing is, we didn't want the Kodai journey to end. Even during that say a 1 month period or so, no, we didn't want the day to end. Every day when, you know, Swami had to retire after we've all had our dinner, we used to sort of crowd around Swami and not let Swami go into his room. It was just a door that used to separate us from Swami, but we didn't even want to have that.
Mm-hmm.
When we didn't want the day to end, it was actually unthinkable that on one day we all were to return from that divine place and we wouldn't be... And at some point of time, sharing such intimacy with Bhagwan, no, all under one roof. It was difficult, but I guess it came one day and we sort of, you know, practiced some songs which we all offered. But even though that trip had to come to an end, the memories continue. So, you know, we planned whatever we could to have photographs taken with Bhagwan. So, you know,
So many photographs during this visit.
You just had to ask for a photograph, it was.
This was a visit where I think one of the maximum number of photographs Swami had given to individual photographs with students.
Oh, wow.
It was in Mr. Srinivasan's house. It was inside Trai. It was Mr. Naidu's house. It was, you know, 2-3 more places.
I mean, half a dozen almost, times within Trai only. That Ganesha, then lake.
So many places. Yeah, it was almost like you had to ask. And you got it. Because the other trip, I remember in 2005 when I went, he never gave even one till the last day.
Oh.
And we had to literally beg him to give one photograph.
And it feels so terrible, the whole Kodaikanal trip.
Yeah, exactly. And 2005 was almost 20 days. We didn't have anyone one photograph till the last day, but it was, this occasion was, that's why it is a most memorable trip, because like half a dozen photographs, and where do you get the chance?
On a normal day, if Swami spoke to you, it was news. But in Kodai, if he didn't speak to you, it was news. So every day, you almost took it for granted, that he would speak. Regarding these photos, I have a very interesting experience. We had opportunities to serve even when we were, because we were just part of, it was a beautiful home. There were chores to be done just as in any. The plates that were washed, we had the opportunity to wipe them clean. And after the dining sessions, we could sort of clean the tables and the floor, mop the floor, and dust the various portions. There was one beautiful wooden statue of Ganesha you might have seen in some photos of Kodaikanal or during your visit to Kodai. So when I was dusting that Ganesha, it was early in the morning, I think around maybe 6 or something. I had finished my bath and I was dusting. And even as I was dusting, I was thinking, whoever is going to notice that I have removed some dust from this Ganesha? I mean, I had not probably even completed the thought when, Swami decided to give us all photos. And where was the location? He stood on one side of the Ganesha, and each one of us took turns in standing on the other side of Ganesha. It was on that very day when I had dusted Ganesha, and this thought had come into my mind. You get answers then and there to questions that you have, and that is a sort of, because you are staying under the same roof, when you get any such thought, he immediately responds. And it was not as if even I had asked him, probably it was just a thought in my mind. But how he responds.
Beautiful.
Yeah. When the avatar comes in human form, this is the greatest advantage, Your spiritual progression is accelerated because all these little steps that you take, you have a chance to get approbation, get confirmation, get his encouragement, it happens in such fantastic manner.
Correct.
Because he has the human form,
In fact, the scriptures also talk about it. When the avatar comes in human form, it's all accelerated. Yes. If you are actually having the awareness that, by God's grace, that, anyway, that also his grace is required to for you to be aware that Swami has come in human form or God has come in human form. So that really accelerates. Because you get immediate answers. That's a beautiful thing which happens.
Like they say, falling in love is worldly. I fell in love of so and so. But rising in love is devotion. So you should be devoted to Lord.
Yes.
I am in love with my phone. I am in love with my
car.
Husband says, with my wife, I love this, love that. But that is, I fell in the love. Which is a
literally, literally it means.
But literally like going up in Kodai Hills, Swami takes us and we rise in
love.
That is devotion. That's what
amazing.
I felt.
We really didn't want the trip to end. And we in fact composed a song, an English song, very simple, because we had just joined the Bhajan group. We weren't great composers, but we wanted to express our feelings to him. So the song was a very simple tune, almost nursery rhyme-ish. We love you, Sai. We love you, Baba, much more than words can say. Make this moment eternal. We don't ask for more. Heart to heart, love to love is the way we move with you. Love, love and nothing else is what binds us to you. So this was, we wanted this moment to be eternal. I mean, these were the very sentiments that filled our hearts at the time. And this was a song we sang probably the night.
It was composed also.
It was composed only at that time.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy to sort of accept this. But Swami ensured that it was not a sudden fall from there. After all these days, it was not as if next day it's going to be completely different. So he kept extending this for quite a while before it sort of tapered off into normalcy, as I, you know, if I can put it that way.
I think like Nitin was talking about the divine honeymoon, right? So this continued for us. In fact, on Ishwarama Day, that year, 6th May, Swami mentioned about the...
You returned on 3rd May.
3rd May. Mm-hmm. So 6th May, Swami mentioned about the Kodai boys. And these are very good boys and all that. And also Swami took us to Mudanalli. This whole group of 25 or so, 30 boys.
Same group.
Same group went to Mudanalli, and many of us for the first time. And we had that opportunity to go with Swami. And there also, if I am, Swami gave us a photograph with the BMW car, the red car, Swami on one side in the front, each student on the other side, individual photographs. So it was like, it was like heaven.
Swami took us to Banerghatta Forest also one day.
Oh, wow.
And each tri-session, like all of us in the front.
I mean, and then you will be still, you know, you will be active. Because Swami will, you know, because of, for the consumption of others, because there will be at least some another 150, 200 boys who come back, particularly local area. So they, he called many of us. I was also one of them. Cheppu, Kodai Gurinchi Cheppu.
To speak about the Kodai girl experience.
So that Kodai, it continued that Hanuman period, even in Vrindavan.
Wow. I think the honeymoon period continues even now.
Of course.
We are still ruminating on that. And on one occasion, Bhagwan had told a faculty member that if you want an experience to be recreated in your life, if you really relive it with all sincerity, then I will ensure that it is recreated for you.
Oh, wonderful.
And he can recreate it in any way. I mean, he has his own ways of doing things. But I think it is these moments where, you know, the, our honeymoon with Lord never ends, actually. It all depends on us in some sense, because he gave something in a very concrete form. But the value is infinite and it is timeless. And, you know, we can extend it to whatever length of time.
In fact, Swami, I remember Swami told me once in the interview room about the same thing. Swami said, you meditate on my form. We're just asking some questions, you know, few of us, and Swami used to give the opportunity.
Yes.
And so Swami was asking, so we were asking something, and Swami said in some context that, you know, you meditate on my form, and you go from Swami's feet to the top, you know, my hair, and then come down and do it three times. Slowly, very, very, very slowly.
Oh, wow.
Each moment you try to, you know, imagine. So Swami said, Uha Chitra. Uva Chitra means imagination. And then Bhava Chitra. Swami said Bhava means feeling. Once you imagine that Swami, I'm looking at Swami, so the feeling comes. And then Swami said Sakshatkar Chitra. It will become manifestation. Swami will appear before you. So this is what Swami told in one of the interviews. So it makes sense what you're saying. It's absolutely right.
If you imagine, then you can envision, and you'll get that vision.
Yes, with a lot of feeling. When you imagine, you get the feeling. Now, we imagine Swami's form, we get the feeling. We imagine Swami's name, we get the feeling. And it just keeps on going for some time. Like Swami says, Yad Bhavam Tad Bhavati. So it just manifests.
Wow. And I think these Kodai experiences, I feel, are experience of everyone. You know, anyone can now just move into that plane. It's Sai Shruti, you know, it's a question of listening to Swami. It's a question of tuning to Swami. Anybody can take up any one particular thing of whatever we have discussed. And if you imagine that, if you put yourself in that plane, you don't know how Swami will recreate it for you.
Once, I also heard it in Varanda, Swami was going from soon after Mahashivratri, he was going to Vrindavan. So that time he gave his word of assurances to one devotee. Say, at the time of need, he was having some problems in his life. So that time he told that, though I am in Vrindavan, you pray at the time of need. If you pray wholeheartedly, no, I will appear in front of you in flesh and blood. He gave that assurance that time in 90s.
Wow.
So it is even more, you know, important now in the present situation that yes, the recreating the form, it is yes, he has given that power within us
to each one of us,
because ultimately we are same, Swami says, and Only thing is that intensity is required. That's what
intensity, yes, that is the word. Intensity is what matters.
Yes, definitely.
Because, you know, they say, if you are persistent, you will get something. But if you want to keep it, you have to be consistent. And we have to be consistent in that intensity. Then probably we can keep it, what we have got.
Yeah.
Consistently intense.
Yeah, consistently intense. Okay, before we end, Brother Nitin, if you can just share just your reflections on this Kodai from the point of view of someone, you know, who had the chance to go in 96, 97, 98, 99. And every time you were in a different stage of life, if I can call that. And if you listen to you, probably we'll get some perspective of, you know, how Swami uses these mediums. Today it is a Kodai, tomorrow it is a drama, day after it is a session to do something in Sai Kulwanthal, present an opportunity to sing, anything. All these are just mediums which Bhagwan used to sort of refine us. I think you are someone who went through that process, and at various stages he gave you proximity, and at various stages I think there was something that is happening within which only you know deep inside, but probably you could share something. I think that will give us some perspective of how Swami sort of is constantly working on us.
Yeah, very good question. When I look back into the past, right from 1996, the first visit, which I still cherish, it has got its special place in my heart, because I was there even before becoming student. That was the day, 29th April 1996 to be precise. We all, my brother accompanied Swami. Swami took him when he was after his first year MBA. He was
in the entourage.
He was a part of this entourage. And then when we came to know that Swami has selected him and Swami has gone to Kodai, what we thought was, people say that it is Kodai is a new experience, so why not go? Like that, our entire family, we decided. And then we booked our tickets and then we went. And we reached on that same day, 29th, early in the morning at around 1 o'clock. And till then, we even were not assured whether we'll have darshan, because there are rumors that Swami has already left, like that. So I was not a student, and we went just for those couple of hours. We found ourselves in Swami's interview room.
Oh.
So we went for darshan, and Swami, our desire was to have his darshan in a new place, Kodai, very scenic beauty like that, and not for any other sightseeing or anything. We just had the desire of seeing Swami, having his darshan. But not only darshan, he granted us interview, sparshanam, sambhashanam, everything happened first time in the life. First darshan was in 1983, in childhood in Bombay, but first face-to-face interaction with Swami took place at none other place than in Kodaikanal.
Wow.
And that was the only day we were there, hardly for a few hours actually, and next day Swami left.
Oh, okay.
And Swami told, it was very touching, that I waited only for you. He told like that.
Oh.
Otherwise, I would have gone yesterday.
Oh.
He told like that. So, and for almost one and a half hour, we were there. And my parents, my grandmothers, my mother's mother and her sister, Swami gave photograph. And then he assured that a brother MBA karta hai. I will speak to Vice Chancellor about your MBA.
Oh.
And till then I had not dreamt, because that took a sudden turn in my life. The whole life changed after that.
Mm. Oh, you had not thought of joining here?
Not at all. It was all out of blue. And then I had applied, because my brother told you applied. I had applied, that's all. And I got reject card. So already, I thought now that is a lifetime opportunity, won't come. It is already too late. I thought like that. I was working there in Bombay. And then suddenly this event takes place. See how he touches our life with just single interview. And then I come for summer course. I come for interview group discussion here. On 7th May. Though Swami, through his, he tells, now you go and attend. So I appear for exam, this group discussion and interview. And I get selected. And then I came here. So that was the first year. In Kodaikanal. Then he gave a chance to enact in the convocation drama, in the MBA drama. So that was the reason maybe Swami chose me to. So that second phase was as a student.
Yes.
So during this, I am not on duty, you know. They say love without duty is divine. So those are all divine moments during these years. Initially, I was not at all a student, so I am not required to come in whites. We took some because Swami can go anytime like that. That news was there. We just went and we got the interview. So no obligations when you are not a student. Then some obligations when you are a student, but you are not on duty. So love without duty, the divine moments, it continued. Then in 99, Swami took all ashram boys, because Swami told to join book trust.
Yes.
And then not only that, he gave that coveted duty of Swami's looking after veranda, interview room. So he took Brother Rameshwar, then Ramakrishna, all ashram boys, at least 7-8 boys, along with current students, he took. That was in 99, and we went by flight. You know, that was again a transition. Yes, the cities where he stops en route, those people don't get chances, but it is more comfortable for Swami to travel by air for people who accompany. Then, that time also Swami was on his own, independent, body is not giving much complaints. So he is on his own, and he had that independent till the year 2002. And in 2005, what happened, as you all know, that he required some assistance. He is confined to chair. So that time, this 2005 and 7, I went as a person to look after his
physical needs.
Physical needs. So as an attendant, as a caretaker. So that was an abrupt another transition where we saw then Sai Shruti also underwent a lot of changes. Everything was, floor was leveled for Swami's chair to go from one room to the other, then that railing came up. But still, even though that physical constraints were there, I saw Swami that he gave, in fact, more and more, because everything was his master plan. So in this last, if you see, even 85th birthday here, in spite of lot of constraints, he gave more and more. He gave more and more darshan in there in Sai Shruti. He used to take letters from virtually everyone. Then he sent word here in 2008, I remember, all the letters, whoever forwards, you should take it. And we used to bring in the bag. And our police people, that security guy, they also used to assist to collect all the letters. So he, everyone's prayers as if he's responding before his final departure from the physical plane. This is what was close observation in the year 2005, 2007. Not only in Prashant Nilayam, but in Kodai also. He stayed more, he took more boys. Earlier in 97, we were hardly 9 boys. 9 boys, that's all. Then the number increased from 9 to 20, 30. I remember somebody told in 2009 it was some 40, 45 boys. And then whole plane is chartered, no? So at least 80, 90 people used to travel along with him. So he gave more and more. Normally, if you are not feeling well or have some constraints, you would like to stay in one place. But for Swami, it was the other way, because he was, his life was meant for others.
Yes.
So that is what was the
The more his body was disintegrating, he was only giving him.
He was giving more and more.
More.
In spite of, as he said many times,
there is pain, but there is no suffering.
There is no suffering.
Yes.
So even in the painful period, he didn't suffer. Because he was always thinking meant for others.
I think he was always, all the time thinking of others. And as Nitin was saying, I could see that. Here also, the way he used to give darshans.
Yeah.
Everybody, like the darshan so slow, it used to take almost half an hour to finish the round. And all letters are taken.
He would give photographs to everyone, all participants, whoever comes from nook and corner of the world, that Parthi Yatra, almost everyday programs, year, 2010, he just gave all chances, whoever comes, irrespective of the standard, okay, come and perform, come and perform.
Yes.
Because that photo, when they come to our book trust and then take it, it is a lifetime moment. Arey, I am there along with Swami. Yes. They see that and then they relive those moments, just like we are reliving this moment.
Yes.
In his presence.
And I remember, because he used to sit for long hours, his feet would actually be swollen.
Yeah,
people would not
correct.
Notice because of the footrest and the cushion placed there.
Correct.
But after 1.5-2 hours, you can see that Swami's feet are actually swollen now. But it happened every day, and every day he wanted programs.
Yes.
At that time, I think there were days when you ran out of programs, but now when you think about it, he only wanted to give.
We used to get disturbed actually. Yeah. People are thronging for his Padnamaskar. In this case, it is a sign of heart problem, no? That swollen legs. Even then, people are touching his feet. Why leave him alone? But the compassionate Swami, okay, come, have Padnamaskar. Yeah. Take photographs.
Take.
He will bless everyone whoever comes, used to come forward.
Amazing. I mean, the finest expression of pure love is that selflessness. And I think that is what we saw in Bhagwan. And you see different facets of it. Kodaikanal is a different beautiful playground where you see amazing shades of it. But I think that is what Swami is all his life. At different points in time, you only see the different sides of this beautiful diamond called absolute selflessness and absolute sacrifice.
No, I think there's one thing what, you know, different between the normal Swami in Prashantinam or Vrindavan darshans, interaction and Kodaikanal is that, I think, see, all of us evolve over a period of time. Whether we want it or not, consciously, unconsciously, we keep evolving because we are here with Swami. But what happens there, you are there, the proximity is so much, right? And you are there for long hours with Swami. So obviously the learning is much more. A lot of lessons learned.
Yes.
So that is one accelerated phase, as you are saying, that phase of life, there's an acceleration of learning, which if you are aware of it,
yes,
and if you internalize that is most important. Because I always felt, when we talk to the students, you know, they want to hear the Parayanams and, you know, all these things going on. But I always keep telling them, Parayanams also good. You keep listening to them, but you have to internalize it.
Internalize.
Because if you don't internalize it, you hear and then you forget.
Just a story then.
Yeah, it becomes a story. And then when you internalize it and you practice it, like Swami says, no, ultimately that, you know, he used to say, my life is my message. And towards the end, I think he has told that your life should be my message.
Yes.
So are we really putting effort and making Swami happy now?
Yes.
He's everywhere.
Yes.
We all miss his form, but then he's still there. Are we really putting efforts to make that statement come true that your life is my message? Devotees also, not only students, all devotees, students, everybody put together. And that is a beautiful thing which we should strive to.
And that is the place I feel we collectively have failed to live up to his expectation. That kind of, you know, dissatisfaction was there not only in his face during this last one or two years. And Swami used to say also, itna diya kya prayojan.
Exactly.
He will say many times.
Exactly.
I have given so much.
I have given so much, but what? You have not rose to my expectations. I spoke. There are 42 volumes of Satsai Speaks. I exhibited my life through my own life. What I have done? Everyone, even now, if you see, they give importance to Swami's miracles. That's all. But that is all elementary stage. You should rise above that. Swami used to say many times. Why he says miracles is my visiting card. It is only for at the time of introduction. You don't give it every now
Swami
and then.
Swami told us, I think, once that abhi tak primary school mein hai, higher secondary school jana hai, college jane ka hai, PhD karna hai, abhi tak you are sitting in primary school.
I think it is our responsibility that let us learn from Swami and let us strive to that rising in devotion, like when we rise, go up the hill.
Yes.
Let us meet his expectation and make Swami happy. And I think that will be the day. I think the divine manifestation is guaranteed on that day.
Yes.
That will be that Sai.
Yes.
The return of Sai. We can 100% we can have that conviction in mind.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you very much, brothers, and thank you very much, Brother Nitin. I think that is a very, very powerful message. We have to arise, awaken that Sai within, and only then we can feel the return of Sai in concrete form. It can happen. It can happen. It's just that we have to do that work within, that intensity within. Then we will feel that Swami in us, around us, within us, behind us, above us, below us. That is what is the Kodai experience, and can be a timeless experience for us.
Correct.
If we all the time remember to value the master by mastering his values, as they say.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Brother Niranjan, Brother Nitin, and Brother Karthik.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Sairam.
So that concludes this long discussion on Kodaikanal Sojourn 1998. It was nearly a 3-hour discussion, and today you heard the final part. Brothers Nitin Acharya, Niranjan, and N. Karthik shared their priceless moments, memories, and precious learnings. If you have any queries or comments, dear listeners, please feel free to write to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us all throughout this day,
and for those mails and words of encouragement that keeps coming from you, which are always for us blessings from Bhagwan. We offer our heartfelt gratitude to Swami for this wonderful opportunity of sharing His love and His message. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.